Everyone, happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the Bison video blog. I am thankful as always to be sitting next to one Jeff Kolpak. It's good to see you.
Really?
I'm more thankful to do this because for the fourth consecutive year, the Nickel will have one face on it that it's had for the last four seasons. I have to officially.
So
do
playoffs
this here.
Don't it count?
Is,
playoffs,
no, remember, playoffs this is a regular count. Season award.
All right.
So.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well earned.
Thank
well
you
earned.
Very much. So. Now we get ready for the fun part of the season. The bracket came out yesterday morning. Jeffrey, the Bison are the number one overall seed, as everyone knows. We'll play the winner of Cal Poly and San Diego coming up on December the 3rd. The news of the day from Chris Kleiman's press conference on Pierre G. Tucker. It's an MCL strain. So he's obviously not going to practice this week.
Sprain.
Sprain. It was strain originally, and then he changed it to sprain. So MCL sprain. We'll know in about 8-9 days to see what Tucker's status is. How big a deal, obviously, is this for NDSU coming up for their second-round game?
Well, I think it's pretty good news, especially today, and especially coming in the light of this year. When you had a guy like Nate Tangaway, when he was out, you knew he was out. Nick DeLuca, when that shoulder went out, you knew he probably needed season-end surgery, and that was out. So then you have the third star defensive player get hurt, and you're thinking, okay, can they withstand another season-ending injury? And I think this is good news today because I think he'll be back. When you have a player at this time of the year on a week-to-week basis, I think he's back.
It would probably take something monumental for them not to be in the lineup, especially for a senior like Tucker, knowing this is his last go-around for a chance to win the whole thing. We've had about 20 hours now, maybe a little bit more, to dive into the bracket. I know there are some out there that will probably watch us today and still be upset that South Dakota State is in the same bracket, but as we look at it, and last year, I know I hammered on this specifically, that the second round, you could have 6 out of 8 rematches. This year, Jeff, at least conference rematches, you only have 2 potentially, so at least the committee did that right.
I think they did a step in the right direction, and the thing about the South Dakota State, remember that, they were seeded 8th, okay, and these seeds came out before any other matchups were done.
Right.
The first thing you do is you seed 1 through 8. And the committee deemed South Dakota State 8 and North Dakota 7 based on number of losses, I'm guessing, as the biggest criteria.
Correct. You'd have to assume that. UND was 9-2 and SDSU.
Neither had an FBS win.
Correct. So you'd have to assume that that's how that went. Now, and all we asked for last year was if you're going to play maybe the quarterfinals. And that would be the case if the Jackson and the Bison advance.
So before you hammer on the committee that they, you know, nothing's changed, I think it has changed.
Yeah.
Because, again, from 6 of 8 potential rematches last year down to 2,
right.
I think that's pretty good progress.
And actually, it ended up being 6 of 8. The second round was, we called it rematch weekend when we had it in 2015. That won't be the case this year. Let's dive into this Cal Poly team. I'm apologies to all Torero fans that are going to watch this. San Diego's a pioneer team, a non-scholarship. Obviously, where Jim Harbaugh got his coaching starting at San Diego before he went to Stanford and the 49ers and now into Michigan. Cal Poly loves the triple option. This is a team that whoops South Dakota State in Brookings. I think we're all of the mindset that they're going to advance and come to Fargo on December 3rd.
Well, today at the press conference, Chris Kleiman said they're going to spend one day partly on Cal Poly and one day partly on San Diego. And I thought, well, okay, that's the right thing to say publicly, but do you really mean it?
Yeah. What do you think?
No, absolutely not. It'll be all Cal Poly all week.
What do you make of this Poly team? Now, when they came to Brookings, this will be Grand Forks, this will be their second trip to North Dakota this year. Joe Prother, their great outstanding fullback, did not play in that game. UND won the football game. You can say whatever you want. If he plays, maybe does Cal Poly win? We will never know, but he's an outstanding talent for the Mustangs.
He is, and again, it's probably going to have to be a Georgia Southern prep sort of weekend. We've been talking about that, I think, every time you run into these triple option teams. It's a potent team. Their defense is a little suspect, and we watched that game on Saturday night.
With Northern Colorado,
nobody played defense in that game. But they're tough. I mean, if you're not assignment sound, and again, it's going to be a lot of mental reps, I think, a lot of mental preparation in preparing. And you have to trust your teammate. You have to trust a teammate that this person has that gap, that person has that gap. And as Trey Dempsey tried to do probably too much early in the season, do too much, you have to do your job.
How big a deal was the non-conference for this team, that they went through a gauntlet even before they started Valley play to get them ready now for what's ahead in the postseason?
It's a good question. I asked Chris Kleiman that in the press conference. I said, and looking back at all the injuries, can any of that be attributed to some of the non-conference scheduling? And he said partly. He said partly. That's a gauntlet they went through, as
we just said.
Iowa, Charleston Southern, Eastern Washington, it'll never, ever get tougher. And never, NDSU will never do that again.
No, they won't do that again.
They'll pay $500,000 for Mississippi Valley State to come up. I guarantee it.
Because as you look at Charleston Southern plays this weekend against Wofford, Eastern Washington is the number two overall seed. So I think we pumped it up pretty good during the preseason. This was going to be the schedule of schedules, and it certainly played out that way as well.
Absolutely. You'll never see how many playoff teams. I mean, added it up. You know, it's a lot when you have to add up how many playoff teams you play during the year.
Youngstown, Illinois State, Charleston Southern, Eastern Washington. So there you go.
It's four plus Iowa.
Half
your schedule.
Right. That's pretty good.
Youngstown. You got Youngstown?
I got Youngstown. And Northern Iowa's no.
And that was potentially
a layup there. And Western Illinois, who we thought for the longest time was going to be a playoff team. Let's talk about the other Valley schools. We mentioned South Dakota State. Youngstown in. That's your sleeper.
That's my
sleeper.
You like
the Penguins. Why?
I think they have the defensive standpoint from the defensive power to get there. They have 9 seniors playing on defense. And they have 2 DNs who coaches have labeled 2 of the best.
Derek Rivers is really good.
Bookends in FCS. You have veteran safeties. I mean, you have veterans up and down the lineup. They can play that man coverage and concentrate the run. So when they go to Jacksonville, they can just man up like C.J. Smith did on the outside and then crush the box on the inside and have somebody stalk Eli Jenkins. I think they're going to beat Jacksonville.
I love your way you talk coach speak there, crashing the box. You got them beating Jacksonville State. Youngstown's got to get through Samford first. It's a home game for the Penguins, and we could all debate about the merits of Samford being.
And I'm sure 1,200 people will show up for Youngstown for that game.
Now, Illinois State in. They've got to go to the purple and gray turf of Conway, Arkansas, and take on the 9-2 Bears of Central Arkansas. The winner of that game will go to the red turf. So Illinois State has the potential to play in the 2 ugliest football fields in the first 2 rounds of the
playoffs. I've been to Conway before the purple field.
What do you make of that? The Redbirds are red hot. They are, but they are playing really, really good football right now.
They have a chance. When you're a Valley team, you have a chance against anybody in the country, especially in the playoffs. They need to have a good performance out of the quarterback. He's got to complete some passes.
Well.
Jake Colby's got to throw 70% completion rate and keep that UCA offense, which wasn't very impressive in the last game against Sam Houston.
Illinois State is my sleeper. I know we might be going homerific here on the Mo Valley, but I think Illinois, I really like the way they've played over the last month, and they've found something that they had early in the year when they went to Evanston and beat Northwestern that we didn't see in Fargo or they didn't see against Eastern Illinois.
Look out for Chattanooga, too. Played Alabama pretty tough for a while.
They've got Weber State and then a potential game against Sam Houston State. So we're going to have full coverage of the bracket as we go through this week. Kolpak and Izzo will be back on Saturday on game day to get you ready for the
game. Are we blogging all day?
We'll do something like that. We'll entertain the masses because we're going to be watching the games. Cal Poly and San Diego is a night game. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. All the games are on ESPN3. Bison, of course, off this weekend before they get set for the second round of the FCS playoffs. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. For Jeff Kolpak, I'm Dom Izzo. We'll see you next week.